delighted to see everybody out with us that we have with us today. And we praise God for your presence, for being here this day. You know, Jesus was the Son of God. And sometimes I think we don't realize how much he knew and understood and what was going to happen to him and what he was doing. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 31, it says, "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. After that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." But Jesus spoke this and taught to his disciples, but yet still they had trouble understanding and comprehending that. They had trouble believing it. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 33, it says, Jesus says, "Saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests, unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall sit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire." You see, they were still looking at worldly things. And many of them had trouble going to Jerusalem. They didn't want to go up there in the trouble that the Lord had told them lie ahead. And then when they took him and crucified him, many of them were in doubt of what's going on, even though he had told them. But Jesus knew what lay ahead. He knew what was about to happen to him in Jerusalem as he was headed to it. And it was not that his Father had revealed this to him or that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, but rather he knew from the beginning of this world what would happen. He knew from the very beginning what was going to happen. In Revelation 13 and 7, it says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name is not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear." You see, Satan was given this power, but Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. From the very beginning, when it was all planned, him and his Father planned it out and laid it out, and it was designed from the very beginning, from the foundations of the world. He knew from the foundation of the world because he was there when all was planned and when it was created. In John 1 and 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." You see, Jesus, the Word, the living Word of God, was in the beginning. It says it was with God and was God, and he created. He was in the world when he came. He was in the world, and the world did not know he was the Creator. Many today don't know that he's the Creator. He was in the world. The world was created by him. And they didn't know that it was he was the one that created it. In Colossians 1 and 16, it talks about how that all things consist by him. Colossians 1 and 16 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible." And we think about that. Physical things and spiritual things were all created by Jesus. All created by him. Whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Our very existence today is because of him. By him we exist and we live. And we're here. And this world is still here. And it says in verse 18, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Jesus Christ is high preeminence over all things and of all things. By Him we exist. And we're here. By Him we have the air we breathe, the food we eat, the trees we look at, the cars we drive. All things consist by Him. And yet He was in the world, and the world knew not that He was the Creator God. And many today don't know that He is that Creator God. John 1 and 9 says that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. You know, they didn't receive Him, and many don't receive Him today. All power, all glory, all honor should be given to Christ, to His name. We should bear His name, wear His name, and be called by His name. We're His. It's all His. You know, it was written in a book so that all could know after He came that indeed He is the Creator. In this book, it's told many things about Him. Many things are said that we would know. You know, we can look out at the trees, and we might look at the rivers and the seas and all the things around us and think, well, there's a God. We look up at the moon, and people worship sometimes the moon, the stars, and all that. But people looking at us in awe realize there's a Creator. It's not an accident that all these things happen. But it's written in a book. When they read it, they couldn't understand it. But it's written for us to understand. Hebrews 10 and 7 says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of a book is written to me to do thy will, O God. Above when He said, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings, offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure in therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first and may establish the second, by the which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus knew and understood, and He had it written in a book. He had it written in such a way that when they read it, it was hidden. Then after the fact, when He come and you read it, you see it. It's revealed. It was written in a book concerning Him, and it was hidden, and then it was revealed about Him over and over and over again throughout the Bible. It is the focal theme of the whole book. It's what it's all about. In Genesis 3:15, there in the beginning, whenever man had sinned and fallen, the first sin had committed, He says in there in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Who's his heel He's talking about there? He's talking about Jesus Christ. There was going to be conflict between the woman and the serpent. And it's going to be conflict between the serpent and Christ. But Christ is going to bring the devil a crushing blow to his head. In the end, and Christ is but going to have his heel bruised. He had to die on the cross. He put a veil over their eyes. So when they read the scriptures, they didn't see it. He was revealed, but they didn't see it. Matthew 13 and 35, it says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. It was kept secret from the foundation of the world until Christ came. And then it was opened up. The mystery was open so people could look and see and know. And you could look back and realize this was what He was talking about all along. This was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. This was God Almighty who created the world, is it in the world. It talks about that He was born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. It was prophesied, and Christ knew from the very beginning He was going to be born of a virgin. And I think He knew exactly which one. He had it all planned from the beginning. He knew that He would be born in Bethlehem. And Micah 5:2 says, but thou Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me, that is the ruler of Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting. So he was always, but yet he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He knew that from the beginning. He knew that before he ever came here, and he knew that when he was here. He knew of his trip to Egypt and his return. He knew all of those things were going to happen. In Hosea 11:1, it says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. And in Matthew 5:2-15, it says, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. You see, if you read Hosea before all this came, before Christ had walked from this earth, and before all this had happened, you'd read Hosea 11:1, you wouldn't have recognized. You wouldn't have known he's talking about the Son of God. But afterwards, when we read that, we see and understand. He knew about his death and about the death of the babies that were going to be killed. It says in Matthew 2:17, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and Ramah was there, a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and will not be comforted because they're not. So Jesus knew this was going to happen. He knew it, and it was foretold ahead of time. He knew that he was going to come as a healer, and that he's going to heal many. It was prophesied about his healing. It says in Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He sent his word, Son of God. Jeremiah 33:6, behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundant peace and truth. You know, and he told when John sent his disciples to him, he said, who are you, more or less? And he told them to go back and tell John, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are healed. You see, there was healing in Jerusalem, and that was testimony that this is he. He rode in town on a colt. The ass of a coat of an ass. And he knew all this was going to happen. He had it wrote down in a book concerning him. Zechariah 9:9, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and right upon an ass and upon the coat of the foal of an ass. Jesus knew all this was going to happen, because he put it in the plan when it was all set forth from the foundation of the world. He knew they were going to cast lots for his garment. He knew all this was going to happen before he got there, before it come down to that final night. He knew he would have that final supper and go out and sing a psalm. He knew that he would be betrayed, and he even knew who was to betray him. It was all laid out from the foundation of the world. Psalm 49:7, it says, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Jesus knew that he was going to give his life a ransom for men's souls. He knew that from the foundation of the world. And he knew that no one could redeem him. No one could save him from what lie ahead. But he had to do it. It says in Psalms 49:8, for the redemption of thy soul is precious, and it ceases forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. Jesus knew that his soul was not going to be left in hell, and his body was not going to see corruption. He knew that he was going to be brought forth on the third day. It was all written in the book before it come to pass. There are many types that are in this Bible that point toward Christ. And I got a few of them listed, and I'm sure there are even more in there if we look and search. You know, Noah was a type to Christ by his obedience. He saved the world. Genesis 6:22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. And in Hebrews 9, I think it's verse 8. That though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all that would obey him. And Jesus obeyed his Father to the last command, to every moment, even to death. You see, Abraham offering his son, that was a type to Christ. As he brought his only begotten son, the son of promise, to offer his life upon them for sin, to make an offering for his sins. Joseph, when he saved Israel by his forgiveness, that was a type of the Christ. It points toward how by forgiving he was able to save his father and all of his children. The Lamb of God that was sacrificed as they were coming out of Egypt. The Lamb of God, it was sacrificed for Israel, and they took the blood and they put it on the post over the doorposts of their houses, and the death angel passed over. That was a type pointing to Jesus, what he would do, of his blood being shed for our sins. And every year they made a sacrifice of the Lamb, a sacrifice pointing toward Christ. Every year that sacrifice was a type, and all that blood that was shed pointing to the blood of Jesus Christ. Moses, as a lawgiver, was a type to Christ. Christ was a lawgiver. Moses said there would come one after him that should give us a law. We should hear him. And we're to hear Jesus Christ today, not Moses. But that was a type unto Christ. Moses, as he lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and all those that were sick and bitten by the serpents went and looked upon that and were healed when they looked at that serpent that was lifted up on the stick in the wilderness. And even so was Christ lifted up, and that was a type to Christ. And then John, he points that out. He says, even if Moses lifted up and the serpent in the wilderness, must the Son of Man be lifted up. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. You see, that was the type pointing to Christ and what he would do. Samson, as he freed Israel with his death, he gave his last breath and death to die to free Israel of the bondage of the Philistines. So again, that's a type to Christ. He gave his last life breath to free us from the bondage of sin. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. He was dead in there. But he was heard. God heard him. God heard his prayers. And he delivered him from death out of the belly of the fish and put him up on the ground to proclaim his message. And even so, Jesus points to that. He says there's no sign going to be given you except that of Jonah, that he was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. So must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. And then David is being the glorious king of Israel. And so he is a type from the Christ, and that Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords and king over the spiritual Israel today. Even the words that Jesus spoke are written in the book. They're written here in different places, here and there, and a little place here and a little place there. They're in the book. Look at Psalms chapter 22. I guess we're trying to go at it backwards, but Psalms 22. You remember what Jesus said as he hung on that cross? I want you to turn over there and read this with me. Psalms chapter 22. My God, why has thou forsaken me? That's what he said. There it's written. Thousands of years before he said it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? You know, I think about that, and you think about that concept that Jesus Christ was the Creator, He's God, He was there in the beginning, and yet as He hung on that cross, He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Spirit of God left Him before He died. And when He died, He says He gave up the ghost. His Spirit lives. And I think that shows that. But you see, even there in His disparity, He cries out those words that He said, those far-reaching words are here in the Scriptures with such deep meaning, already written. Verse 2, oh my God, I cried in the daytime, but thou hearest not in the night season, and am not silent. You remember Jesus' prayer that night? He prayed with great drops, of his sweat was like blood. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But God didn't allow it to pass from him. But then he says in verse 3, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of people. That's the way Jesus was when he was on this earth. And yet he was the Son of God, the very God that created us. Verse 7, and all they that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him, let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Exact words people said as they looked upon Jesus hanging on the cross. It says in verse 9, but there are he that took me out of the womb, thou didst make me whole. When I was upon my mother's breast, and I was cast upon thee from the womb, thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for is none to help. As you read on, you can see the anguish that Christ was in. You know, we don't read the Psalms with this in mind, but many of these prayers that you read, they would fit prayers that Christ would make perfectly. It's just like this is the mind of Christ, of what he said and thought as he was facing the cross that lay in front of him. Look over Psalm 16. We'll start reading in Psalm 16, verse 8. I set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not move. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall also rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, when David quotes part of this chapter, when he's talking about saying that Jesus, this was talking about Jesus, that his flesh did not see corruption, neither his soul in hell. And this chapter is talking about Christ. It's as much as the Psalms. You think about it, even like the 23rd Psalm. And you read that and you think about Jesus as he was facing the cross. When he talks about here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You think about what a great sermon this is, or what a great prayer this is. And you think about Jesus as he's facing the cross. He restored my soul. The angels came and gave him strength. He talked about he walked through the valley of the shadow of death. He would fear no evil. Yes? All throughout this book is detailed about Jesus Christ. The words he said, the words that he thought, the prayers he had, and what he did. Even his death is so clearly detailed. Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. We want to read this whole passage. He says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You see, he was rejected by men. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten, and God afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It was known from the very beginning he would do this for our sins. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Remember when he stood before Pilate, he said not a word. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Now how's a man going to do that? Jesus did. He said he died with the wicked. And yet when he was buried in a rich man's tomb. And because it said, because he had done no violence and he was in deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to prove him. He had put him to grief when he shall make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days and pledge the Lord to prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by the knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he had poured out his soul into death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus knew. He knew every detail of what was going to happen to him. He knew all that was going to come, and all that was going to go on. He knew it all. From the very beginning, he understood, and he knew. Because he was slain from the foundation of the world. No wonder he said what he did in Matthew 28. He said, all power is given me in heaven and earth. He has all power of heaven and earth. And because of that, he is able to save our souls. Because of that, he has the right to tell us what we need to do for salvation and how we need to live to bring honor and glory to him. He says, all power is given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore teach in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, he told them to go and to convert people. That's what he told them. Teaching them and converting them, making disciples of them, and baptizing them in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Jesus had the right to tell us that and the power and authority to do so. He is God. You know, he's coming back one day in vengeance. He says he's coming back and his word tells us the truth. And it, he does not lie. It's proclaimed throughout the Bible that one day there's going to come a judgment day. And we all going to stand before God. And we got to give an account of what we've done with Jesus Christ, his Son. And if you're here today and you've never obeyed his gospel, we want to give you the opportunity to do that today. To come forward confessing his name and to be buried with him in baptism, to rise to walk in newness of life, in a new life in Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you've done that, but sin still reigns in your life, you haven't walked a new life, God knows that we're weak and he provided a way out and a way of strength. He said in 1 John 1 and verse 9, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive for our sins. And to cleanse from all unrighteousness. And so if you're here today and you suffer to the gospel called anyway, perhaps you're a Christian, you've made confession, fallen after the prayer of the brothers, God is able to hear you and cleanse you. If you're here today and you're baptized in Christ, he promised to wash away all sins and all iniquities, give you a new life in the Son, Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and subject to the gospel called anyway, we get opportunity to come as we stand and sing.